Incredible honor to fill in for a guy who's meant so much to me long before I ever thought there'd be an opportunity for me to fill in the Rush Limbaugh program. It's just an incredible honor. 800-282-2882 if you want to join the program, be part of the program. We've had an amazing day of talking to Americans who are continuing to keep America running. I love to hear from people who observed the president's speech earlier, and particularly the behavior of the media, because I want to talk about that. I continue to be outraged, to be frank, at the way the media is treating this. But I see just incredibly good news in this. I firmly believe that we are winning this battle with the media. Let me say that another way. I think they're now losing it. And I know mentally they've lost it long ago because of the Trump derangement syndrome. I know that they mentally lost that long ago. But they're... insistence today during the president's press conference to once again focus on the saying it's a Chinese virus that makes you racist. And then there's one person in the press corps. I saw her tweet when it came out. I replied to it with these words: I don't believe you. Provide a name. She says that she was behind the scenes at a Trump event in the White House, that one of the staffers called it the Kung Fu flu. And maybe they did. And if she's, you know, horribly concerned about that at that point, then perhaps she should say this is the person. Because if you're behind the scenes and people are chatting back there, I'm not aware of that being off the record. Maybe it is. Maybe you signed a document that that's all off the record, that only things said behind the podium or things that you can report. I bet you could find a way to get the name out. I don't believe her. Because there's been so much purposeful and non-purposeful misreporting around this president that I'm now just openly saying, I don't believe you. So if that happened, then name a name. The president said a number of things, but they want to focus on Chinese virus. So the Defense Production Act, what he's doing is saying, oh, look, I'm going to act like a wartime president. I'm going to view this as a war. And so we can do a lot of good things if we need it. So what this is really going to do is, this is from Fox News, said ensures the private sector can wrap up manufacturing and distribution of emergency medical supplies and equipment. Okay, so the president has the authorization to say, hey, you have to sign these contracts right now. You need to deliver these things right now. So he has invoked a law that's been used multiple times before to give himself this authority, largely around law or war. President Obama invoked it to force companies to give up the diagrams to their communication systems. That's weird. Why would Obama want that? It also, the other thing that they said is, of course, economic. They're suspending all foreclosures and evictions until the end of April. That's the housing department. How that's going to work for landlords, don't know. And again, we could talk all day long debating the policies, etc. Rush will be back on Friday, so he'll have the ultimate say on the Rush Limbaugh program. Ken Matthews will share his thoughts on this tomorrow. What I'm sharing is a president who's set on action. Vice President Pence said this, that they are deregulating some acts in healthcare that will allow a doctor in one state who's licensed in one state to go work in another. That sort of makes sense, don't you think? You have states like West Virginia or Idaho who've had far fewer cases, and they got plenty skilled doctors, ER docs, etc., who could, or respiratory therapists who could go to other states and deliver care. Don't you think that makes sense? Those rules shouldn't exist anyway, right? Because they're blocking, they make healthcare harder to come by. There's the $1 trillion, and we could talk all day long about our debt, national debt, etc., where this is coming from and how it's being spent. I would point this out, that unlike the banking bailout, this is not a response to companies being irresponsible with their money. A lot of these companies are being affected by what the government has said and limits the government has put on them. So if the government comes along and says, you don't get to fly international routes, well, that cuts your business down. Then that then cuts down the people arriving in hotels. And there's this effect that spreads throughout the industry. That's a government act causing this. Therefore, I'm able to look at this and say this is different than the big banks who cooperated with the Clinton administration to give housing loans to people who they knew would never pay them back, couldn't afford to pay them back, rolled them all up into these investment derivatives and crashed the housing market and then said, hey, bail us out. It's a very, very different phenomenon and should be treated differently, I think, from our perspective. When I say we're winning in the media, what's the media response? Well, the New York Times wrote a very helpful article to let you know that that the social distancing, you may be helping global warming. Because I know that people who are on the cusp of losing their job or of having to reconfigure their restaurant or their bar or figure out, do I really get to open my gym in 2 weeks? I know they're thinking, well, at least the social distancing is helping with global warming. In the same article, they say, but maybe not. Because maybe you're at home, turn the heat up, using more of the air conditioning. I believe that whole thing is a hoax anyway. Because it's always based upon what we exhale, carbon, not particulate matter. It's based upon our exhale. So we're winning in that front. When they're resorting to social distancing is helping global warming, but it might be harming it, they're losing. Here's another way they're losing. Just put yourself in the mind of someone who is deeply affected by the Wuhan flu. So you have lost, you're not, God forbid you've lost a business, but you fear you're going to lose the business. Or we had a call. In fact, we may talk with a woman whose husband is in a long-term care facility. We may talk to her in a bit. Imagine being her, like, affected. She can't go see her husband. And you have the National Abortion Federation saying, don't let coronavirus stop getting an abortion. Well, yeah, do. Maybe that's a reason not to. One of the other things that the president has announced and that Mike Pence has announced is they want people and organizations and hospitals to delay, to put off elective surgeries. Yes. We need the nurses and doctors and we need the blood specialists and the respiratory therapists and everybody involved in that. We need them available for the emergency. Why else are we winning? You look at the Democrat Party's main partner in international relations under Barack Obama. This is remarkable. You remember where you heard Rudin said this. Remember when Barack Obama, he broke all sorts of laws, for instance, allowing Hezbollah to ship, what did they ship? Did they do cocaine? They do cocaine. The opioids came from the Taliban, who Obama also let ship into our country. He let Hezbollah move through our southern border cocaine into our country. With human traffickers and sex traffickers through the tunnel system in a project called Project Cassandra. Obama stopped. He stopped the indictment of them to get the Iran deal done. Iran is scaling back its terror activities as the Wuhan flu crippled the Islamic Revolutionary Guard's corps. So even the partners of the Democratic Party are being affected by this. So the media, they're losing. And the bankruptcy of the Democratic Party is phenomenal. Joe Biden, the nominee, no one except those purely hypnotized by the letter D. And it is a beautiful letter. I mean, look at that letter D. It's got that flat side and then it's, you know, really round. It's a gorgeous letter. So they're hypnotized by it. They believe Biden can handle this. No one who has spent any time watching Biden knows for sure whether he is certain that this is not Ebola and he's not the dictator of Africa, because we don't know, because he doesn't know, right? And I'm just illustrating the point. I know dementia's sad. I've seen it. It's ravaging people. But just to illustrate the point, that's the bankruptcy of this party. One other thing, and someone said this to me on Twitter earlier. Can you imagine if AOC or Hillary were in charge right now? Instead of working with private industry, they would have taken it over. They would have said, first things first, we got to slap down some, you know, wage controls, et cetera. We got to do that now. We need some equity in this. And it'd be shut down. I think we have the president we need at this time. I want to talk to Louise in Raleigh, North Carolina. Louise, you are on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Louise.
Hi. I can't believe I made it through after all these years.
You did. I'm sorry. It's a rank amateur that Rush isn't here. But what do you want to tell the Rush Limbaugh audience?
I would just, if I'm sure some people already know this, but maybe that those who don't, how many aspects of life that this situation has created problems for. Like, my husband had spine surgery a week ago, just before all of this shutdown started. And he was taken to a rehab facility that is now on shutdown, and I cannot go in to see him.
Oh.
I just got back from, they allowed me to stand at the door and speak to him through the glass.
Wow.
They brought him up in a wheelchair, and, you know, it took everything I had to try to have a cheerful face for him, you know.
Yeah.
But,
what, Louise, what's your husband's first name?
Gary.
Gary. All right.
We're both retired. He's 75. I'm 71. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. As the younger of the two, have you brought him over to the Rush Limbaugh program? Does he listen to the show?
Oh, absolutely. Every time we get in the car, we used to deliver pharmaceuticals to rehab facilities as kind of a strange thing. Here he is in one of those locations we used to deliver to. So
so what I want you to do real quick is as you said, his name's Gary, right?
Yes.
All right. Listen, Gary, in Raleigh, North Carolina, recovering from surgery. Your wife, Louise, loves you so much. So hard for her to not burst through that glass. Here she is talking to the largest radio audience in the world. Just real quick, because we've got to run to a break. I hate to do that. Just, Louise, just how much do you love Gary?
Oh, my gosh. We've been married almost 49 years now.
Yeah. Well, you love him that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade for anybody.
Well, you're not going to have to. God's with you. God will be with you. Okay, this will be up, you know, later. There is the podcast. There's a way that you get this to him, and let Gary know that you got to say that to a national audience, even with the rank amateur filling in for Rush. Thanks for the call. God go with you, Louise. Congratulations on the 49 years. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh of the EIB Network. Ken Matthews in tomorrow. Thanks, Mark Stein. 2 days this week. Rush Limbaugh himself returns Friday where he belongs and where we need him. Let's talk to Tom in Nashville, Tennessee. Tom, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Tom.
Todd, great to speak with you. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a question and then a comment about our great president. My question is, do you think after this that some of these large corporations that have asked people to work from home will really make an effort to transition to that more on a full-time basis? Because I tell you, I've been driving to work. I work by myself in an office by myself, and the traffic has been wonderful. And I could really see these companies seeing the value of their employees working from home. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And yes, I do think they'll do that. I think that part of this is going to be on the employees. I think when you're working from home, where are you? Because I've done this where I've gotten the ability to work from home. And in fact, I get to do that sometimes in radio. You have to argue for it. And you need to make a case for it and show that you are making an improvement or that you are at least equally, you know, bringing the same effort, the same effect, not effort, but the same, you know, results. When I worked in tech, it wasn't unusual for us to, you know, we'd work from anywhere. So you could be out at the lake place and you're working and you knew you got good at it. You know how you know when you're good at working from home is when people don't know you're at home. When people forget that. And there's a trick to this in the tech world is that you go in and occasionally have breakfast. Because if you're in there early, like 7 o'clock in the morning, out of the gym, you make this appearance, people think you're there all day. So that's a way to pull that off. So, yes, I do think that this is an opportunity for that. There's some other changes that I think will come about. Movie studios are running first-run films in homes. If that takes off, look for them to maybe find a different way to charge you because they'll charge you more money to be able to watch it from home because you'd be hurting their theater partners and not bringing in extra revenues, et cetera. But look for that. Also, believe it or not, there's a smart toilet that is that may be launched because of the Wuhan flu, because obviously the shortage of toilet paper. So that was an answer to that question. You wanted to say something about the president?
I do, yeah. So I think in the end, this is actually going to strengthen his win come November, because I think even Democrats are seeing how he is absolutely the right man for the job right now. You know, you hear, of course, the lying media that they're spewing the same thing that they always have about racism and whatnot. But I'm talking to liberal friends, and even they're like, yeah, you know what? I think he's doing the right thing here and doing the right thing there. They might not love him 100% still, but
yeah,
I think he's making a real big difference here, and he's going to win an even bigger in November, contrary to what the media believes that this is going to be his downfall.
I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, obviously we want to keep the Lord in mind in this and prayer in mind in this, and that God is in charge. Let's not forget that. But let's also remember that if the president continues down this clip at the way he's responded to this and arrests this virus in such a way that, you know, the lives are saved. Yeah, I think we end up with a great, great, great Trump win. I think it's headed that way. Thanks for the call, Tom. I appreciate it very, very much. Sean in Anderson, South Carolina, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Sean, I appreciate you calling Rush's show. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Todd. Hey, so, you know, are we going to have hearings on this? Tom Cotton was talking about when asked whether this was something that came out of the wet markets or whether this was bioengineered.
Yeah.
He said it didn't come out of the wet market. So are we going to have hearings like 9/11 hearings? And what are the Democrats? I think it puts them in and I hate to be political about it, but I think it really puts them in a very bad spot to have to explain why we do need security on our borders, why we do need to make sure that our major threat, China, isn't allowed just to do what it wants to do. I mean, this is,
yep.
I mean, people have, you know, and what happens if nothing happens with the death count? Meaning that what if this hysteria turns out to be just hysteria and there's no major death tolls? I mean, what's going to be next? There's all kinds of serious questions and
Already, Sean, you know, to your point, already we've identified, and a lot of us have known this forever, and Rush has talked about this forever, that you have a dependence on China for strategic items like your pharmaceuticals. I mean, I have family members who they have to take these pharmaceuticals. I think we all do to sustain their life or their mental health. So much of that's coming from China. That's untenable. You have, insulin being made or processed in China, and I think it was 95% of it. That's untenable. It's unsmart. It's unwise. It's scary knowing that, of course, China is at best co-opetition and perhaps, you know, or at best a frenemy, when in fact they may well be an enemy. And I think it also adds this, is why is the media not the least bit curious about Joe Biden's deep attachment to the dictators of China? Why are they not interested in Hunter Biden's, I think, according from memory, it was a $1.5 billion kind of bank deal that Hunter Biden did after he went on a so-called official trip with Joe Biden? Why are they not concerned about that? Why are they not concerned about Joe Biden's support for the one-child policy in China? I mean, he's the likely Democrat nominee. You would think that maybe this is an opportunity to look at that, but put Joe Biden in a box. Joe, are you willing now to limit imports from China? Are you willing now to have some balance? It's a great point you bring up, Sean. I do hope that happens. Thank you for calling Rush's show. Oh, lots to get to. We're not hardly done. In fact, I'll give you an example of you think the media is bad here. Did I say not hardly done? I mean, we're not even close to done. I'll give an example of media across the pond. You think our media is bad? Wait to hear what someone from The Telegraph had to say about older people in this virus. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Great honor to fill in for Rush today. And I'm getting all sorts of notes on Twitter from people saying, hey, don't forget that there are people working in the wireless industry making sure that people have connectivity in hospitals. That I just got a note from a guy who runs an internet service provider, a small one in rural areas, saying, hey, don't forget about us. We're ramping up, too. We've got people working from home, so we're working triple hours. A great portion of the show we spent talking to Americans who are keeping Americans rolling, because we'll make it through this because of you. Obviously, the actions the president are taking are very, very important. We've been talking about those as well. But the other theme of the show today has been a juxtaposition between you, the real people in the world, and the media, and their whole continents. They're not acting like people who think they can win. They're acting like people who think they can bog down. What they hope to do is slow down, bog down, and lie their way to a tie. At very, very best, that's what they hope to do. Let's talk to Sam in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Sam, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Thanks for calling in, Sam.
How you doing?
Good.
So I've been told by conservatives and Republicans that capitalism, that if we let capitalism run rampant, that the markets will adjust accordingly. And if the markets adjust accordingly and it just so happens that your business is crashing, we should let it crash. But somehow we've injected socialism into capitalism and have put in these circuit breakers to make sure that if the markets are crashing, then big government comes in and stops it from crashing. I thought you guys hated socialism. I'm not understanding. I thought.
Oh, this is neat. Oh, I get it. You're doing the Socratic inquiry thing that you learned in the community college. No, that's cool. Let's start here. Are you? Let's make sure that we agree on terms.
I went to grad school. I don't know where you went.
Oh, okay. I went to community college. I just went to community college.
Yeah,
that's all. But
I got community college.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did. I'm very proud of that. So I just caught the Socratic inquiry thing and that sort of Columbo thing where you're pretending like you're just thinking out the top of your head. Let me just ask you this. I want to make sure we agree on terms. Are you of the opinion that we are in any way a free market capitalist society?
I'm told that that's how we should run this country.
No, I'm just asking you a question. I just want to make sure we agree on terms. Do you think that we're a free market capitalist society?
That's how everybody wants to run this country.
Yeah, okay, so I'll try it one more time. Sam, there's a lot of ways we can do this. There's the one way where we have a conversation, and the other way is where you've said what you said, and then you go. I'd rather have the conversation.
I know. I asked you a question. You've yet to answer my question.
No. You didn't ask me a question. No. You went through a soliloquy. Here's the question.
My question.
It's very simple. Do you? No. You've yet to ask me a question. So, Sam, we'll try it again one more time. Do you think that we are in a free market capitalist society?
For the most part, yes.
All right. So are you invested in the stock market?
I am.
Okay. Through what means?
Through my work, through my 401k.
Oh, so your 401k, what is that?
You're failing to answer the question.
No, I'm not. I'm answering it.
No.
Hey, listen, don't blame me that I'm better at Socratic inquiry just because of my community college classes. What is a 401k, Sam?
It is a fund that's been put in place by your employee that invests money in. Okay, then you teach us a community school dropout.
You know, I didn't drop. Well, actually, I did drop out. That's a good point. So, what is a 401k? That number means something. 401k. Who made that up? Who decides what's a 401k?
Again, go ahead and educate people because
no, you tell me. Clearly, you called in with a clear vision.
You're refusing.
You called in with a clear vision. You called. Oh, I'll answer it.
No.
I will promise. I'll answer it. I promise. I will. I want to make sure that you understand what you're criticizing.
Answer your own questions because obviously you have the answers to everything.
All right. So you don't know why something is a 401k.
You have the answers for everything. So answer your own question.
All right. So since you don't know, I will explain. The IRS decides what qualifies for 401k. So let me now do a follow-on question. Are any Americans forced to invest in the stock market?
No.
Okay, so what is a state pension plan? What is that?
You're answering my question.
No, Sam, what we're doing is unraveling together here. What is a state pension plan?
Why is it that the government has to interject into the stock market?
We're two steps away from it, Sam. Once you answer this question, we're there. Is anyone forced to invest in the stock market?
I already said no.
Okay, so what is the state pension plan?
You tell me. You obviously know the answer. Again, answer your own question.
All right, so Sam, a state pension plan is an investment advice. A device for state employees into which the taxpayer is forced to invest. That instrument is then put into the stock market, and you are there forced into the stock market. There are other ways you're forced to invest in the stock market, such as the Fair Housing Act that President Clinton employed with Jamie Gorelick, one of the masters of disaster, that moved your tax dollars into subsidizing and underwriting loans for people who had no ability to pay it back. It was cruel to them. It was cruel to you. Those devices then got rolled up into a stock market, which is the very, very, it's a very big example of lobbying to kill your competition and to gain special pleading status. That's why it's nowhere near free market. So to answer your question, if we were actually in a free market, no one would be forced to invest in the stock market. You wouldn't have state pension plans that you're forced to invest in. You wouldn't have forced instruments like Obamacare, which forced you to purchase products from companies you don't like for services you don't need at costs you cannot afford. Companies that are, by the way, some of the superstars of the stock market. So it's not anywhere near free market. So to answer your question, yes, in a completely free market, yes, you'd let these companies crash because you wouldn't have special pleader status, because you wouldn't have too big to fail, because you wouldn't have the intermingling of the big banks, Sam, who pay executives to leave their banks. Do you know that Citibank and other big banks pay their executives to leave those banks to go to work for the Fed so they can go get the connections in the Fed to give them the sweetheart deals? In a free market economy, you wouldn't have Jamie Dimon come in when the housing market crashes because of big government and the intermingling of lobbyists and go out and buy what used to be a great bank in Washington State on the cheap, like 6 cents on the dollar, because Jamie Dimon is mobbed up in ways that no one has the real right to be around Washington, D.C. So to answer your question, sure, in a free market, you'd let the market crash, but we're nowhere near a free market. Also, in a free market, you'd be able to pick and choose which investments you took. You wouldn't have riders on you need to have this form of employment insurance, that form of employment insurance, this form of insurance, et cetera. It would be purely competitive. So, yes, in a completely free world of voluntary exchange of value for money, you bet we'd let it crash, but we're nowhere near that. So thank you for the point. That's a great call, Sam, that we are not anywhere near that. And in a purely free world, you wouldn't be in the position of having to underwrite crashes in the housing market or crashes in the insurance market. Great point, Sam.
Question.
I just went through over a minute of explaining this to you, and you want to come with another question?
Well, you're why aren't you not fighting for that? Why are you just
what am I not fighting for?
Are you
kidding me?
Why are you letting socialism take over? Why are you not fighting so that
the market crash, Sam?
Why are you not fighting for that?
Sam,
I don't hear you, or Sam,
how long have we known each other?
I don't hear you, Sam.
How long have we known each other?
I've been hearing your show all day, and I haven't heard you.
No, you've been hearing Rush's show all day. Sam, on a daily basis, from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the morning, I make the point that we need to get to a fair tax, which is consumption-based, to do away with the IRS, so that therefore companies cannot go buy legislation so that they can force you to purchase their products or underwrite their products. I make the point daily. You and I, Sam, have known each other for 7.5 minutes. So please, please don't say things like, why aren't you fighting for a thing to which I've committed my life? Appreciate the phone call, Sam. Great try. The graduate's degree did a great job. You did wonderful. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Goodness, the reviews of Sam's call, if you missed that, called in with a little Socratic inquiry, a little philosophy 101 bit. Dang, this is on Twitter. Dang, be gentle, brother. Sam was just ripped apart. Granted, he deserved it. But I wish you guys would actually sit down for a few hours. Educate Sam. Education is Sam. Thanks. Jodell, the guest, the caller, Sam, total classic example of educated idiot. Come on, be fair. We don't know if Sam's actually educated. Vicky in Reno, Nevada, you are on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. Glad to hear you, Vicky. Hi.
Hi, Todd. I love having you as the rank amateur fill-in for Rush Limbaugh because you bring the flavor and perspective from the West Coast.
Well, thank you. You
have the added dimension of circulating in the rarefied air of the high-tech industry, the tech industry out there. And that's why Rush Limbaugh is so effective, is he grew up with the influence of the Midwest and the South, and he also had the influence of the West Coast by starting his career there, and he had the influence of New York City, the Big Kahuna.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't just talk down to his listeners from an ivory tower. He's actually lived with and interacted with them face to face. That's why he's so effective and loved by so many people. But
so well
my
said.
Comment is, yeah, my comment is about the trucking industry. We're lucky we don't have Bernie Sanders or Biden or Elizabeth Warren or anybody in charge, because they've all stated that the very first thing they're going to do is shut down the fossil fuel industry when they take office, and we wouldn't have anybody out trucking anything to any place because there wouldn't be any fuel to truck it with.
That's brilliant. No, that's exactly right. In fact, what was it? Biden said he's going to do away with all shale oil drilling, wants to shut down the industry. He bragged about shutting down industries. And I wonder, do you think Bernie would actually shut them down, or do you think he'd seize them and force the workers to stay there to service his socialist economy?
Oh, that would be a possibility, too. But I don't know if AOC and his other acolytes would stand for that.
No, I know. And just imagine, I mean, folks, you look around you. The hub that's keeping this all going is, well, I mean, the American people are keeping it going. If you've heard the calls, and Vicky, I trust you've heard the calls from the FedEx drivers and the truck drivers and the people working in the medical labs and the people working on copy machines and IT people keeping things running. I trust you've heard that. But this none of it happens without oil, without petroleum. It just doesn't. Nothing gets anywhere. So it's a great call, Vicky. Thank you very much. And what you said about Rush, so true. You can still... I mean, you call Rush, you talk to him, you're talking to a guy who's lived it. And it is so clear, so far from the ivory tower of normal media people. And here he is at the top of the chain, and he maintains, you know, that humanity. Chuck in Grants, New Mexico, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, how are you? A fellow community college graduate. How are you today?
I dropped out. Sam got that part right.
Yeah.
I did.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Football ended, and I said, you know what? What am I here for? I want to be a lawyer, but I don't want to take botany classes. So when football was over, I did. I dropped out. So, but anyway, a community college person. Welcome, Chuck. What did you want to say?
Okay. I actually work for one of the major lab companies. Actually, we are represented on the President's COVID-19 Commission, and I'm actually in the transportation unit. And we are responsible for going to all the individual doctor's offices, the urgent cares, the clinics, and the hospitals, and transporting all of those testing to a main lab facility where the tests are actually run. And the media has been talking as if there's no testing going on or it's very limited. That's simply not true. I am currently transporting COVID-19 testing to the main labs for testing hourly today.
Wow.
I put in 200 to 300 miles a day and visit between 50 and 60 clinics and facilities, and we are testing right and left. And very soon, it's my understanding that by the end of the week or the first part of next week, we will actually have the fast strip testing. Hospitals
wow.
are already putting up facilities in their parking lots, so when those are ready, people can drive through, people can stop in. Things are happening, and the media is not really being fair in the reporting that things are moving slow or everything's on the surface. No, there is a lot going on.
Yeah. Are they concerned at all that have you heard the media be concerned at all that the lab coats are white? Because that could be a form of racism right there.
Well, you know, some are green, so you got to be really careful.
Okay. I want to make sure that we are going to affect, respect green Americans in the process. Thank you for what you do. You're another American who's keeping this stuff moving. Fascinating job. Thank you, Chuck, for the phone call. Appreciate it very much. If you get a chance to review the show and go back and not out of listening to me, God forbid you go listen to me a second time, just please keep in mind the Americans who are shoulder into this effort, pushing our economy forward, our lives forward, hear the continents. I mean, we had the call from the woman, and gosh, I'm forgetting her name, Louise, whose husband she can't go see him. He just had surgery. Did you hear her cheer and her joy? Okay. The Bible says multiple times, be thee not afraid. And we were cautioned many times, don't fear. I know it's a scary time, but look what's getting done. Listen to your neighbors. Observe their actions. This is America. It's what it's about. Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Oh, what an incredible honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh, who will return to the golden EIB microphone on Friday. Ken Matthews will come in and do a great job tomorrow. Mark Stein was here earlier this week. Just reflecting on the show, I remember this meal that my grandfather used to eat. And first time we had it, we hated it. It was cabbage and beans and rice, and you know where I'm going. And, you know, Grandma would cook that, and we'd go over from time to time and eat that. And it was my grandpa's favorite meal. And why? Well, because he hated it when he was young. Hated it. Worst thing he'd ever eaten. And never looked forward to eating it, and used to say, oh, no, Mom, not again. And in the elder years, it became something he loved to eat. And it wasn't health. It wasn't that he had kidney problems. Those things happened. It was that it reminded him of a time where they didn't have a lot. And it reminded him of a time where they didn't know where the next meal was coming from. It reminded him of a time where Mom would scrape together what Mom could have in dry goods. And sometimes the rice wasn't there. Sometimes the beans weren't there. But the cabbage was always there because they grew that on their own. And when we would eat it and ask Grandpa, why do you like this? It wasn't until I was an older adult that he shared with me, I like it because it reminds me that my grandma did everything, or my mom did everything for us. We're in these times, and we'll come out of these times, because this is what we do as Americans. And it's a great reminder. Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network.